Well, order in the court. Tonight we have the proposed group of five playoff versus the people. And it's for you, the jury, to ultimately decide who's right, who's wrong, and which direction this college game should go right here on the Three Technique.
One man. Goodbye. Hello, Heisman.
20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 45. There goes Davis.
Oh, my God.
Davis is going to run it all the way back. Auburn's going to win the football game.
They get it to Rogers. They get it back now to the 30. They're down to the 20. All the Davis is out on the field. He's going to go into the end zone.
Four-man Alabama rush. Got him. No, they didn't. Oh, my gracious.
Yep.
How about that?
Welcome in, everybody. Another edition of the Three Technique, a college football podcast at the intersection of the X's and O's and the Jimmies and the Joes, along with Trey Reeves and Mitch Mason. Trey doing a live show in the middle of the week, which when I put that tweet out, I got some responses asking, do you guys normally do live shows during the middle of the week? And the answer is no, we don't. Normally we record on Monday night, release on Tuesday or Wednesday, just depending on how many podcast topics we have. But Trey, we've got something that demanded a live show. Not an emergency podcast necessarily, but certainly something worth discussing live with the people. And we certainly will have a lot of you, the Jimmies and the Joes, join in the comment section on Twitter, on YouTube, on Instagram as well. Feel free to write in as we get throughout this topic. We'd love to hear from you. But Trey, the group of five needs its own playoff. That's going to be the main topic of discussion for tonight.
Our text thread with each other as we were preparing for this episode, and ultimately what decided, what made us decide to do a live show tonight rather than just recording this and releasing it as we normally do, it was popping off today. I had some pretty heavy thoughts about this. I think it's, Well, I'll save my thoughts for the segment, but I think we're battling. I don't think it's an overstatement to say we're battling for the soul of college football when we talk about what we do with the G5 in the future. It is that important, and it's going to matter. Like I say all the time, when we talk about who controls the power of college football, who has access to the college football playoff, sure, one school, if you eliminate one school the size of, I guess in this case, you know, a Coastal Carolina or a Troy, or a Toledo, or a Utah State, you eliminate one or two of those, you're not talking about a big effect in the actual audience that you're going to reach as a college football world. When you eliminate all of them at the same time, potentially, or say, hey, you can go play over here in this other sandbox for a participation trophy, a glorified participation trophy, right, which is the reaction that I've seen from the G5 fans that I've seen on social media reacting to this idea. You're going to alienate your audience and you're going to kill the sport because you're going to kill interest from millions of people.
Well, I know we're going to have a lot of new viewers for this episode. And essentially what we're going to do is we're going to break down this proposal from one Josh Pate as a court case. We want to give his evidence that he cited in his video. We're even going to play a part of the video clip for you, just so we avoid cherry picking, as he actually accused his detractors of doing. And then we're gonna outline the defense for the people, man. I like you said, it feels like we're fighting for the soul of college football a little bit. We wanted to put some structure to that, so we're going to do that. If you are new to our channel, if you're finding us for the first time through the podcast, through a Twitter clip, whatever it might be, welcome, glad you're here. You can find us at 3TechPod on all social channels. We post college football content every single day, especially over on YouTube, which, quick shout out to Garrett, our producer. He's not here with us tonight. Just welcomed his first child into the world. Congratulations, Garrett. We certainly wish you guys the best and are excited to have you back with us just as soon as you can. But a new dad welcoming his first into the world.
Super happy for the Turneys. And sounds like baby and mom are doing well. Garrett did not pass out, as far as I know, which is
huge,
absolutely huge. So great job all around. Everybody did their job today, and we're excited to meet baby girl really, really soon.
That's right. Now, before we get into the court case, should we mention very quickly that the NCAA appears to be, per Pete Thamel, Chris Vanini, a myriad of sources, appear to be, quote, deep in discussions to arrive at a legal settlement that essentially would pave the way for schools to pay players directly. We don't know a ton of information about it, which is kind of why we just want to put it here at the beginning, but more to kind of keep you, the fan, informed. Watch this space.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can see the tweet on the screen right now from Pete Thamel. Leaders of college sports are involved in deep discussions, quote, to reach legal settlement that would likely lay out the framework for sharing revenue with athletes in a future NCAA business model. Obviously, the quick takeaway is we're broken right now. I think that's very easy to see. More so than that, that the NCAA has basically, if they settle on this court case, which if you're not familiar, just the super Cliff's Notes version of House versus NCAA is basically an NIL antitrust suit. If they're trying to settle that out of court, they are admitting defeat there. They're admitting that they have no power in this space in the current format, and what they're trying to do oversteps not just their bylaws, but actual maybe U.S. law. So that's going to have massive ramifications for college football, for all NCAA sports. And, you know, we shall see what the long-term and short-term ramifications of this are.
It's going to be fascinating to see how that turns out. Again, watch this space. We'll be reacting to it maybe a little bit later on in the week as more information comes out. But Trey, I think we've buried the lead enough. Court officially in session. So we have the Group of Five playoff proposition versus the people here tonight. Now, what we want to do, and I want to put this disclaimer out there because I think it's important. There will be no questioning of intelligence in this discussion. That's a ground rule that I think everybody should agree to. And yet maybe the comment section under the initial video got a little rambunctious, some personal attacks. And I felt like the response questioned the intelligence of the college football fan. So I wanted to say at the outset, whatever we say here today is strictly our opinion, right? We're fans of the game, just like everyone proclaims to be. But there will be no shots across the bow at anybody's intelligence just because we disagree at the models. What we are going to, I believe, do is extrapolate the logic of, hey, Group of Five needs to be in its own separate playoff, and here's why. We're going to extrapolate that logic out, and I think we show that ultimately that logic is a little bit flawed through the slippery slope fallacy. Now, we'll get there, but first I want to play that clip, basically the thesis statement that Josh Pate had from the other night. Trey, you're going to pull it up, and we're gonna play that so you can listen to it and go from there.
G5 playoff. That has always seemed like common sense to me. I've always thought it was one of the most mind-numbingly ignorant concepts imaginable to pretend that South Alabama is playing the same sport as the University of Alabama. But that's what we were forced to swallow as logic. And South Alabama is chasing the same championship, theoretically, that the University of Alabama is. Georgia State should have a shot at the same championship the University of Georgia is competing for. Now, I don't care if my mother has never absorbed a down of college football in her life. If I cut on a TV on Saturday and just show her the products on a split screen, she could tell you within the first half of the first quarter, the guys over here in blue and white look a little bit different than the guys in red and black. Yes, that's correct. They are playing the same sport in name only. You know, we've known this for a long time. So I've looked at that and I've said, instead of pretending 130 some odd teams are playing the same sport, why have we not long ago acknowledged that you got the SEC and the power of whatever conferences you want to call them? And it's fair enough. Yeah, there's a gulf between Washington State and Florida, but at least we can somewhat accept they're chasing the same trophy.
All right, you can stop it there. I think there's a lot to take in. There's a lot to take in from that minute and a half, right? And again, He said that a lot of people cherry picked it, so we wanted to play that clip where that really is the thesis of his argument, right? Distilled down, it's the group of five is not playing the same sport as the power conferences, right? South Alabama can't hold a candle to the University of Alabama. They have no hope of winning a championship and thus would benefit from their own separate playoff. Now, before we break his talking points down, on its surface, that seems like a fair enough argument, wouldn't you say?
It does. And, you know, he goes on to quote stats and have actual records since 2019. And the records are not good for the group of five, right? We have so many examples of group of five teams just showing up to cash a paycheck at a power five. And when you look at, he points out, Josh Pate points out, when you narrow that down even more, zoom in on just the SEC and Big Ten, which are the ultimate power two, let's be real, versus the G5, the numbers are worse and worse. But on the surface, you can make that argument. Maybe they are not playing. Maybe one side is playing with a hand tied behind its back. Maybe one side just has more resources. Whatever that reason is, there is a large disparity. But I think what we want to show is maybe comparing Alabama and South Alabama isn't what we're talking about. Maybe Georgia State and Georgia is the wrong conversation here.
And I think it's going to be a fascinating reframing of that discussion, because ultimately I think what we're going to argue is, okay, if by extension that logic is all true, then by extension, the Vanderbilts of the world, the Indianas of the world, the Virginias of the world, frankly, are not playing the same sport as Alabama, Georgia, LSU, Michigan, Ohio State, right? And so we'll get to all of that. First, though, he had kind of four main points that I just want to list for the audience, right? First step, the struggle of group of five versus power five. You mentioned that. Opponents are 93 and 351 going back to 2019. That was kind of his ace in the hole. Hey, you think that you can compete? You can't. Here's the numbers. Here's the record, right? The second thing that he talked about, and this is where I started to feel like the mudslinging started. He said that the only people championing access and inclusion to the college football playoff are those who are financially invested. And what really, I think, got him off on the wrong foot with maybe some of the group of five audience was he said, and I quote, "Any other belief is stupid and ignorant." So, you know, questioning the intelligence of passionate college football fan base is typically not great for business, or maybe it is great for business because 247 is getting all these free clicks. He also talked about any successful G5 program is automatically gutted, right? And he cited the draft picks from this last year. They only had 18 draft picks combined between a total of 62 teams. You compare them to the draft picks of, say, Michigan and Washington, who played in the national championship game, and they had 23 combined draft picks. So Power Five, even the national champions, are dwarfing an entire league of football. And finally, he kind of took a shot across the bow at all G5 facilities, saying, oh, you don't have as good of players, resources, stadiums, fan bases, which on the surface, true, right? The quality of player, there aren't just five stars teaming everywhere at Georgia State. That much is fair. But I think, Trey, this is where we would start the defense by saying, I think you're missing the point of college football.
Absolutely. And this is what's driving me crazy right now. And this is not meant to directly, you know, take a shot at Josh Pate. That's not what we're talking about, because he's just one of many voices that are voicing similar things. Dennis Dodd is the first one that reported this. He's a longtime college football reporter for CBS. What they want to take away is the uniqueness that makes college football great. We don't watch college football because we think that, you know, Texas State or Boise State, or even, you know, way down the line, Florida International. We don't watch college football because we think those teams are true national championship contenders. Even Cincinnati, when they made the playoff a couple of years ago, I think most people thought, man, that's an amazing story. they're going to get blitzed by Alabama. We watch college football, and what we've really gotten away from in the playoff era and in, I think, you know, as we try to make it more and more like the NFL, professional sports are championship or bust. Hands down, you spend the money, you get the players. Did you win a championship or did you not win a championship? That's all that we're talking about. The Dallas Cowboys, prime example, how many division titles have they won? How many times have they had maybe the best regular season record in the NFC in the past few, in like the last 20 years? Does it matter? No, because they haven't even made an NFC championship game since 1996 or whatever. So that's professional sports. What we've lost in college football is the ability to say you had a good season if you're not hoisting the college football playoff or the national championship trophy. And that kind of started with the BCS, but it's really kicked into overdrive with the four-team playoff. And what I personally was hoping was that the expanded playoff, the 12-team and now 14-team playoff, would kind of rectify that a little bit. Because for so long, we had, you know, oh, we made a BCS bowl game. We made a New Year's Six game in recent years. We had an undefeated season if we're a G5 team, right? But maybe it's Twitter trolls. Maybe it's the money being invested. Maybe it's, you know, all this stuff that's trying to make college football more like the NFL. Maybe it's more fans that just don't have a context for college football history. More and more, you just see, oh, well, you didn't get a ring. You didn't win the trophy. So that doesn't matter. You went 10-2. Cool. Good for you. You didn't. And it was the first time since, you know, 1987 or whatever that you won 10 games. Doesn't matter. Didn't win a trophy. So why are we even talking about you? That's not what makes college football great. What's amazing is that there are 130 plus teams. And of course not. Of course not. Not all of them have, you know, the tools to win a national title truly on the field. No one's going to step on the field with the Alabamas and Georgias of the world and take them on at a certain level. But that doesn't mean that they're not worthy of inclusion in the college football playoff. And it doesn't mean that they're not more worthy of certain teams that we've deemed worthy just because they were in the right place at the right time 100 years ago when these conferences were being formed.
I totally agree. It kind of flies in the face of the business of sport, right? Because like you said, the world's most valuable sports franchise hasn't even come close to winning a championship our entire lifetime. And yet they continue to elevate that brand, not only in name, but also in financial value as well. So to say that it's championship or bust, or competing for a championship is all that should drive an institution, is all that should drive an athletic department, it's all that should drive you as a fan base, I just don't totally get. Again, even though we lose more and more of the college-esque nature of the game every day, I mean, we led off by saying, hey, paying players is coming down the pipe, right? Universities are about to have salaried employees essentially suiting up for them every Saturday in the fall. I think it still is missing the spirit of what the game is supposed to be. And again, maybe that's dead. I don't know. I would like to hope that we would do everything that we could to maintain that for as long as we could. In order of presentation, we put down our thoughts, obviously. And so the first real argument against, I think, what Josh is saying is, then why stop it? Power Five versus Group of Five, right? If you're going to say that Georgia State can't hold a candle to the Georgia Bulldogs, and if South Alabama is playing a completely different sport than the University of Alabama, so too are Indiana, Virginia, Vanderbilt. Now, you know, I apologize for taking shots at those schools. Those are just schools that have really struggled in their conferences as of recent. But guys, when you know, insert Big Ten team here that wins two games a season lines up across from Ohio State, they're not really playing the same sport either. They might have a few more blue chip recruits, but they're not playing on the same level, right, as that Ohio State or that Michigan team. And so for me, if you're just going to say, well, because it's Group of Five and you're not in the power conferences, that there's a clear line in the sand drawn, Trey, it feels like, then what's to stop us from trimming this down to a 24-team league, to a 12-team league, right? Like turning it into the NFL light.
Yeah, if you want to make a super league, just go ahead and make a super league. And let's be really real. There's about 16 to 20 teams any given year that actually have a more than a snowball's chance in hell at winning a national championship. And I think that's even being generous, 16 to 20, right? I think that's like rosiest colored glasses. So if we want to be really real, that if we want to follow the logic all the way that these people are talking about, then yeah, let's make a 20 team league and everybody else can just do whatever they want off on the side. And honestly, that's what some of these people want, which is just sickening to me. I know that Greg Sankey and, you know, the Kevin Warren, no, it's not Kevin Warren anymore. Who's the big new Big Ten commissioner?
Oh, I've forgotten his name.
Yeah. Irrelevant.
Lawyer.
Yeah. A suit.
Tony Petitti.
Could not be making major college football decisions. They want it to be Big Ten versus SEC. We see that time and time again, the conglomeration of these things. So, but I love what Updog said in the chat here. I'm going to put it up on the screen. Everyone forgets that, you know, the season's supposed to be a journey. It's supposed to be about building a program and building for longevity. And, you know, to use the Georgia State example that Josh Pate used, so they beat Tennessee, did they not? In the not too recent
they did. Draft.
What does Absolutely. That tell you? How many wins does the G5 have to have? You can point at the record 90 and 300, whatever. Okay. But what number would be enough for you? 90 is not zero.
It's not.
Is it not? Like that's enough to show me that there's at least more of a chance than a Vanderbilt winning a national championship.
I'm right there with you.
What's more likely? What's more likely? The best G5 team in a given year knocking off the 5 seed on their home field or Wake Forest winning a football national championship?
It's why we play the games. It's why we don't just line them up on paper and, we project, you know, this team to be a higher overall than the other team. So, sorry,
yeah, this team has more 5 stars, so they're the national champion, I guess, following this logic.
Yeah, I mean, you know, tell Appalachian State
on their
that.
Stadium, so they get to be the national champion. A&M's
yeah, exactly.
Pull it in that model.
Tell App State that when they marched into Kyle Field a couple years ago and beat the Aggies in front of 100,000 fans, right? That was an A&M team that had playoff aspirations and the national media beating the drum right behind them, right? Like, okay, they had 35 stars, 4 and 5 stars on that roster. App State shouldn't have been able to show up and even score a point, and they came out victorious. It just, to me, it negates the whole point of college sports.
And it also, Mitch, it also forgets that college football is cyclical. Like, we've been stuck in this loop for the last decade plus, 15 years or so, that Nick Saban just owns college football. And people forget that in his first year, he lost to a group of 5 team in Louisiana Monroe. Like, you have to build the program to be the caliber that you're talking about. So, there, and to say that a Vanderbilt or a Wake Forest or none of these teams, so many of these Power 5 teams that are just in there by association from 100 years ago, say that they're more worthy than Cincinnati's in the Big 12 now, but a Cincinnati who earned their way there, or a TCU yeah. who earned their way there, or a Coastal Carolina or James Madison, or just pick whatever successful group of 5 team you want. Say that they're more worthy just because some decisions were made before any of us were alive is just right. asinine.
And I want to get back to that because I think that's a very important point to be made. We'll talk about that TCU, the Boise States of the world, coming up in just a minute. But let's get to his second argument that the only people, quote unquote, that are invested in inclusion and championship access, and that all of this is really just a lie fed to you by the C-suite who stands to benefit. Listen, I have no doubt that the C-suite of college football wants us to consume as much of the product as possible, because then they get to sell more advertisements, and that's what really makes them money. I mean, my gosh, dude, we are in the dark ages of commercials right now, between the AT&T What a Pro Wants, the Wingstop No Flex Zone commercials. I mean, we're in consumer hell right now, having to listen to some of the worst commercials
ever. It's TikTok on TV. It's really bad.
It's so really bad. I mean, you have to mute the TV if you're not going to change the channel. So I have no doubt that the C-suite wants to provide as many opportunities for those commercials to run. See the two-minute warning as example A, Your Honor. I mean, there's no reason for that to come to college football except to shoehorn another commercial break in there, right? But I think that the continually growing fan base of college football, not of one team, but of college football, vehemently disagrees with this point. You can't claim that the only benefiting parties here are the C-suite, that this belief that everybody can compete is just some fantasy that we all decide to live in, without dismissing the growing viewership, the merchandise prices. I don't think any of us really tuned into Liberty and Oregon in the Fiesta Bowl thinking Liberty's going to win this game. But you know what? It's the thrill of the journey, man. We wanted to see Caden Salter sling it 100 yards downfield against an Oregon Ducks defense that gave up a billion yards to Michael Penix Jr. and the Washington Huskies, right? Like, it's the thrill of the unknown that I think gets us to the point where we're excited about college football each and every week, and we want to see those Cinderellas take on the Goliaths, because you just never know what might happen.
And what other sport wants to take that away? Is there any sport that has ever made the argument that, no, we don't need the potential for a Cinderella? What makes it a Cinderella is that it's not likely. And did fewer people care about, you know, March Madness when George Mason made the Final Four back in 2006? No, it still set records. It still made billions of dollars. Like, it's going to be about the money either way. One of his other arguments in his video is that a ton of people would watch the G5 playoff. So you're telling me that it's also just a made-for-TV thing? Siri's trying to talk to me, sorry. You're telling me it's just a made-for-TV thing, but also trying to argue that if you're against this and you're just filling in for what the corporate people want? Like, that just doesn't make sense to me.
Well, and I saw a comment earlier as well that I thought made a great point. They're asking, Josh, in March Madness, do a ton of people watch the NIT? Do you automatically get the same viewership over to the NIT just because, well, man, the competition, they didn't get into the main tournament, but boy, the competition is just as good over there. They're playing for a championship and they get to hang a banner if they win all this. No, of course not. There are games that pull viewership, but in comparison, nobody watches the NIT.
Yeah, and those games that pull viewership are from teams that are having a comparatively good season to what they've had in the recent past or their whole history, right? Like, if you think about a team that I think about in my context, I grew up a Texas A&M fan, obviously. We sucked at everything when I was a kid. Baseball, basketball, football. They went 0-16 in the Big 12 one year. The next year they get a new coach, Billy Gillespie, and he takes them to the NIT. They're printing T-shirts with the NI Texas A&M logo, okay? And it's because it was a huge deal for a program that I think had won like 2 NCAA tournament games ever at that point. So it's losing the context of what a good season is. Do those fans, like, let's say Southern Miss goes on a run and makes the college football playoff this year, do any of the most reasonable fans of that team think that they're going to go into an Alabama or a Michigan or a Texas and win that game with a playoff advancement on the line? Absolutely not. Are they going to be telling their grandkids about the time that old what's-his-face threw a touchdown pass at Darrell K. Royal Stadium and, you know, made it a close game at halftime and then they just kind of pulled away in the second half? Absolutely. It's going to be like the stuff of legends. Those guys are never going to have to buy a drink in Hattiesburg ever again. It's just losing the context of what a good season is. I know I keep coming back to that, but that's just so important to me in preserving what we all love about college sports.
It's not like anybody in, you know, Austin, for instance, is given a, you know, lifetime specials to that team that won the NIT a couple of years ago, Xavier, right? Like, no one's drinking for free for life because they won that NIT a couple of seasons ago. It's not the same. But if you are a St. Peter's, for instance, if you're a UMBC, and you do something historic, doesn't matter that you lost the next game. You were the first 16 seed to ever knock off a one seed. Those guys are legends, right?
The first 14 seed in the playoff to knock off the five seed or whatever is going to be legendary.
Yeah.
And it will happen. Like people said, a 16 would never beat a one, and it's happened twice in the last 5 years or whatever. It's going to happen.
It's, you know, an old ESPN writer, Kevin Van Valkenburg, who I believe is now at No Laying Up covering golf. He once called the struggle of a city with a bad sports franchise as it's the nobility of the fight, right? Because it's not necessarily all about winning a championship. Absolutely, that's awesome. Can confirm. Our baseball team just won a World Series, and it was Christmas Day for like a month straight, right? Like, so when it happens, it's amazing and the best thing ever. But if you had told me that the Rangers were going to come out of nowhere and beat the Astros in the ALCS, and in that rain, they would lose in the World Series, but man, you beat the Astros, a team that you weren't supposed to be able to step on the same field with. There's a lot of pride that comes with that, right? And obviously it's different now that we've won a World Series. Now I'm like, I'm pretty happy with how it turned out. But ultimately, when you're comparing, as Josh put it, apples and bowling balls, you know, those bowling balls, when they knock over the pins, it feels pretty good. And, you know, I'm not exactly a great bowler, so it doesn't happen a lot. But boy, when it does, you spin right around. You got a big smile on your face. I'm just saying, the time that a James Madison knocks off somebody big, it is going to be one of the most memorable moments in college football history for that program, for the fan base. Doesn't matter that they might not hoist the national championship trophy at the end of it. That's really not the end-all be-all for every single school, and that's okay.
Yeah, and so a couple things there. You're devaluing the regular season when you take away Group of Five access. I'm going to go back to them in the chat, Updog. Every regular season game is playoff relevant in the G5 with the way that it's set up right now. That's completely takes away your argument from, you know, the people that say that the regular season is devalued. Now, every regular season game for those five conferences is relevant because it's one spot for five conferences. And, you know, honestly, most of the time that team is going to get blitzed. Like, that's just being real. They're probably going to get blitzed on the Power Five team that just missed out on having a bye. They're going to go to that team's home stadium. They're going to get blitzed and probably lose by multiple touchdowns. Isn't that a nice reward for the team that just barely missed out on having a bye? Maybe they lose their conference championship game. Maybe they have themselves a fantastic season but just fell short. They get a home playoff game. That's pretty much a guaranteed win. Just like playing a 16 seed is a reward for one seed. It makes the regular season more worthwhile. So that's my thought on, you know, just another way of looking at this. But Mitch, you mentioned golf, and I want to throw this out to you. It just kind of came to me when you said that. Why do we love the Masters?
Pimento cheese sandwiches and green jackets.
We love that, but isn't there like a mystique? Why do we make it appointment viewing every year?
Yeah, the gravitas.
It's the mystique of the tournament. It's unique. It is its own thing. It's not trying to be something that it's not. Do they or do they not let amateurs play in that field?
Oh, they do.
And is an amateur likely ever going to win the Masters?
No.
Probably not. I know it's happened in the past a long time ago, but Sam Bennett came close last year, but he faded towards the stretch because he's going up against professionals that this is their everyday full-time job, right? Why do they let amateurs play? Because it's part of the mystique. It's part of the, you know, they give an award for the low amateur. And I know that that's, there you go. There's the trophy for the G5, right? No, it's because they let them into this tournament because it's part of the mystique and it's part of the magic of seeing these amateurs take on a course and get to play right next to the pros. Like the guy from Georgia that got to play around with Tiger Woods on his last round, right? He got to play Tiger's 100th Masters round with him. So it's similar to that for me. There's a mystique of college football, and so much of that is the David versus Goliath, is the battle of resources, is building to a point where you have a season that your school's never seen before. Whatever happens after that is going to happen. Transfer portal, I know we'll get into that in a second.
Yep.
Coaches leaving, that's going to happen. But it's building to something that you've never had at your school before that's magical for the kids that are on campus, both on the team and in the stands.
Now, Trey, I think a lot of people may that have discovered this for the first time. And again, welcome. We'd love to have you join us at 3 Tech Pod. If you would subscribe, like the channel, we'd love to have you on a regular basis. A lot of people may think, Trey, well, are you actually advocating for one system and the group of five playing for the playoff? Because it sounds like you're kind of saying that they never have a shot. So maybe what is the point? We're going to get there, because I think that ultimately just grouping every team that's not in a power status, and we talked about how some of those power five or power four conference teams now, like, they shouldn't be there. But just grouping all other teams under this group of five banner and saying, you know what, let's put them in a different category, that completely ignores what teams like TCU, for instance, have done. Trey, just a couple of years ago, the Horned Frogs were a nomad, right? Wandering from conference to conference, just trying to find a competitive schedule so that they would be taken seriously. But when they showed up to that Rose Bowl, no one thought that they were going to go and win playoff games in a couple of years and compete for a national championship. Nobody expected that from a little old school in Fort Worth, because they weren't the machine that they built up to being just a couple of years ago. Now, I know they haven't exactly maintained that success. They don't have to. The point still holds. TCU at one point, Trey, was four quarters away from being the top school in the country, from winning a national championship. Not that long ago, they were a group of five team, and given some sort of split between Power Five and Group of Five without any other infrastructure, they would never have a chance to come up and play for a Power Five national championship. So at the very least, it feels like we're missing ingredients to this. If you do have some sort of separate playoff system, don't you have to go the step farther and make some sort of promotion relegation system?
Absolutely. And because I think additionally, this whole Power 5, G5 thing is just so arbitrary. And anybody that looks at 2024 and where these teams are in a vacuum just has no respect for college football history, right? Like, TCU was in the WAC and Conference USA and the Mountain West. Cincinnati was in the Big East. The Big East was considered a power conference at one time, had an automatic BCS Bowl tie-in. The Pac-12 was a conference this year. It's not going to be a conference next year. So when we just draw this line at Group of Five, Power Five, it just ignores all aspects of reality of what these things have been and how it evolves. So what if a conference starts beating? What if the Sun Belt teams start feasting on the SEC for some reason, or a couple of them do? And like, what does that mean? You have to have a system. If you want to do something like this, the only way I would support it is if we get rid of, you'd have to lump all of college football together and get it under one roof, which we had another episode about how that may or may not ever happen. Garrett and I talked about the Super League thing, but you got to have some sort of promotion relegation in my mind. Why does Vanderbilt deserve to be in the SEC and get to have access to the playoff while James Madison doesn't? When James Madison would beat them on the field by three touchdowns. Like, that doesn't make sense. That does not make sense. And if you want to decide that on the field, you want to make the bowl games battles for relegation or promotion, like the Sun Belt champ challenges the last place SEC team, who wouldn't watch that? You want to talk about viewership numbers? I would absolutely tune into that. So a couple ways that I would maybe get on board with this separate G5 thing, you got to have a way for them to earn their way into a power conference. You got to have a way, because right now it's just based on what a bunch of people decided 100 years ago. Sure. If we go off of that, Swanee is in the SEC. Have you ever heard of Suwannee? Like most, I bet most of the people have never heard of that. They are a founding member of the Southeastern Conference. That's how different it is from when these things were started. It's ridiculous to think that these teams that just got luck of the draw included should get to be, you know, just included for forever. And on the flip side, you shouldn't get to just throw them out of your conference either. I don't believe in that. I don't believe that Vanderbilt right. should, that the SEC got all voted together and voted Vanderbilt out because they're not bringing enough to the conference, or Mississippi State or whoever. I think that would be a travesty. Like, no, you agreed to live as a conference. You should live and die as a conference. But when we're talking about all of Division I football for the good of the sport, there has to be a way for those teams to earn their place. And that's the beautiful thing about what the way this college football playoff is set up right now. Whatever that G5 team that gets in there, it's not like we're just handing them something. The majority of the time, that team is going to be an undefeated or one-loss team. You can only play the teams on your schedule. So, like, if you beat everybody on your schedule, we saw that with Florida State this year. The uproar that they beat everybody on their schedule, regardless of the eyeball test. If you thought Florida State should be in the playoff, you should be for inclusion of an undefeated G5 team in a 12 or 14 team playoff.
You're here. I mean, I was leading the charge for Florida State there. So I'm right there with you. I think ultimately what we've, and we didn't react to this immediately. We started talking about this Saturday or Sunday, whenever it came out. Obviously here we are Monday night recording a live show. We really spent some time thinking about this and logically dissecting this, right? And so it feels like we've got really two bones to pick with this. On one hand, it feels like there have been some drastic oversimplifications and overgeneralizations. We're missing the forest for the trees when he's honing in on specific items to then paint with a very broad brushstroke. On the other hand, I think that his plan or his proposal doesn't even go far enough, right? And maybe he just didn't get to that. I don't know. But if you are going to institute this, the premise is all off. It can't be. You can't institute a Group of Five playoff just because they're the Group of Five.
There wants a merit-based system without any merit. Right. He wants a merit-based system that you get born into.
We did, Trey, we did throw off feudalism many moons ago. I think that was our initial.
So. I thought we were past that in this country, but
now it's just the education system. But that's a whole that's separate
different
debate.
Podcast. Different podcast.
That is a whole separate podcast. last item here, and we'll put this case to bed. Let you, the jury, decide at 3TechPod, Instagram, YouTube, Spotify, wherever you find your college football content. Write in. Let us know what you think. He looked at the transfer portal, right, and the overall draft pick numbers as a key point in his case for Group of Five removal from national championship contention. I would argue, Trey, that this isn't unique to the Group of Five. Whether or not you have, Group of Five teams getting plundered by Power Five teams, I think is an entirely separate issue from whether or not a team could build up, be a team of destiny in 1 year, make it to the college football playoff and go on a little bit of run. That's not unique to football. That's not unique to the current ecosystem that we have. Secondly, this happens at the Power Five level just as much as it does at the Group of Five level, right? Purdue, how you doing right now, man? You guys got gutted.
Yeah, it's applying a different standard to this set of teams just because they don't have the same patch on the side of their jersey right here, right? That's all we've been trying to say.
Right.
It is we have Division I football, we have FBS football, and the system is really rigged against the G5 right now. Like, let's be real. And treating them as some sort of separate but equal, like we have been for the last decade plus, is not going to fix anything. I think we righted a big wrong by providing access to the college football playoff, but like separating them again isn't going to solve anything. It's just going to be FCS plus. And I really don't think that the fan bases in those conferences, correct me if I'm wrong, if you're a fan of one of those teams and that's your school, please correct me if I'm wrong. From what I've seen, the reaction to this is just gutting, because they're like, okay, we fought so hard to have access. Cincinnati paved the way a few years ago. Cincinnati walked so we could run, maybe, right? And now you want to take that away from us. That's the general reaction I've seen to this. And it's going to alienate fans of college football. It just is. If it's the same thing I said about the Big 12 when it was on teetering on the brink, right? It's the same thing I said about the Pac-12. You remove those teams, you don't give them access to the big dance, they're not going to pay attention. They're not going to watch. You're going to lose viewership. You're going to lose passionate fans.
So overall, I think it can be distilled into a couple key points, right? First of all, we are missing the point of college football by advocating for this system, right? Just two separate playoffs on the basis of inclusion, right? And championing, oh no, I'm actually rooting for a group of five. I'm trying to help you. As I think he put it, if major college football is an 8-lane highway that you're struggling to keep up on, well, how about we take the 4-lane access road, right? I mean, it's not great, but at least you're moving forward, right? To me, that's just so offensive.
Yeah.
The group of five teams.
Someone in a power situation ever tells you, like, let me help you, let me make this easier for you, you should probably run from that person, just as a general life advice.
Yeah. It just, again, it feels a little disingenuous.
It's patronizing.
It is very patronizing. And like we said, that's why we didn't want to come on and we wanted to have a factual, logical discussion, right? We didn't want to sling mud because we were frankly a little uncomfortable with the amount of mudslinging that was used as evidence for the points, right? Let me help you, as literally one of the captions to the posts. I agree. I found completely patronizing to group of five fans. You don't have to venture very far other than the comments section to realize I think that missed that mark. So we've missed the point of college football with a group of five only playoff. We have completely missed what is growing the game right now, which is not just the chase of one championship, but it's everything else that goes into this great game. Transfer portal, not unique to group of five, not unique to college football at all, right? To say that you would take away an opportunity from a Cinderella team because most of those guys won't be on the team next year, that seems fallacious in and of itself. And then finally, if you were to say, okay, this is sound, it doesn't go far enough because, as you said, Trey, we're creating a merit system with no merit. There's no teeth to it. And ultimately, I think that is what the biggest fish in my craw is, that you're just cementing teams in a moment in time because, oh, well, you weren't in the Power Five yet, so you've got to be in the group of five. You have to play for the consolation prize. That doesn't sit right with me.
Yeah, absolutely not. It has no context for history, has no context for the fluidity of these conferences or what we consider power conference or a lesser conference. It just has no context with it. It's just, let's take a snapshot right now, and these teams are in, these teams are out, and they should be happy with that.
Well, let us know. We'd love to hear from you on this group of five inclusion. Is the current system good? Do you agree with Josh? I'm sure there are plenty of people out there that say, you know what, it would be pretty great to have a Power Five and a group of five. We get a taste of that with the FCS playoffs. Those are fun. So heck, why not try that again? If that's you, we'd love to hear from you at 3TechPod, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube comment section. Come find us. We'd love to talk with you. You can also hear from us, like I said, on a weekly basis on our YouTube channel. Garrett does a great job when he's not having a child, cutting up our YouTube clips and putting out daily content for you guys as well. We're going to have NFL draft grades coming up very shortly. We were going to have that as tonight's episode, but obviously something a little bit more important came up. So stay tuned on the channel for the most impactful drafts around the NFL. I'll have that for you. And we'll have much more of the off-season content as, hey, spring ball, it's in the rear view now. We're getting closer. Team projections, conference projections. Those are right around the corner. They'll be here before we know it. For Trey Reeves, I'm Mitch Mason. We're so glad you joined us tonight. Thanks for hanging out. Until next time, so long, everybody.
Gracious, yep. How about